I'm supposed to be light, bright, and superficial, and I'm supposed to be fountain of happy thoughts, and I'm supposed to live like some kind of wedding song, and I'm supposed to stand here and make out like I'm strong. What if I'm wrong?
Hello, lovely listeners. I'm so excited to be talking to you about something I care ridiculously deeply about. So, a couple of you, more than one, more than five, I think, took me up on my offer and asked me for bread tips. And I started typing out virtual monologues with my thumbs on my phone. And it occurred to me I could live out my deeply held secret dream of having a bread podcast and addressing your request. So, I am not, by any stretch of the imagination, like the master of all things bread, and everything I know about bread has come from reading books, listening to YouTubers or instructional videos, reading recipes, magazine articles, and just a little bit of experimentation. So, you know, anything I can tell you about bread, it's coming from somewhere else, standing on the shoulders of giants and all that. So, obviously everybody is at a different stage in their bread journey. So let me just talk first a little bit about equipment. I know, super sexy. So to make bread, there is ridiculously little you have to have. It's pretty accessible, which is why I guess it's popular everywhere. You need an oven, unless you're making a flatbread, like a naan or a roti that you can do over the back of a wok. You're pretty much going to need an oven. Sorry. So those of you dwelling in dorms, you might be out of luck for a little while, but you'll get there. What you need, minimum in terms of equipment, is some kind of vessel that's big enough to mix all the ingredients in and contain the dough after it's risen. You need access to clean water, so like a kitchen with a sink, or if like me, you live in a developing country, bottled water. That is really useful. You need something to bake on in the oven. You can't put uncooked dough like on an oven rack. It's just going to fall through the slits and you're going to have an unholy mess. So it can be a sheet pan. That's super useful. A lot of people that have Dutch ovens, like simple iron ones, or even better, like a much more expensive La Crusette, is nice, but absolutely not required. Just maybe better. You need a space, a counter space of some kind, or a table where you can work on the dough, both in and out of the vessel that you've mixed it in and let it rise in, a place you can knead. So that can be a table, it could be a table with a cutting board on it if you absolutely have to, but ideally not a wood one that can contain bacteria, but something you can clean easily, soapstone or, you know, whatever you happen to have. That is pretty much it in terms of have-to-haves. There are some nice-to-haves. Number one with a bullet on nice-to-haves is a kitchen scale. Kitchen scales are ridiculously cheap and so useful. Most of the recipes I use and most I see online, They come in measurements of grams. Some come in cups. If you're American and you like cup measurements, you'll find them. But grams are better because different flours weigh different amounts, and everything in a bread recipe is relative to the amount of flour. Well, maybe if this gets any traction at all, we can talk about baker's percentages another time. So, for example, my favorite sourdough recipe, which I know by heart because I must have made it 500 times, is 450 grams of flour to 280 to 290 grams of water, depending on how, you know, holy I want to say, how much airy I want it to be in the end, 7 grams of salt, and like a tablespoon, about 6 grams of sourdough starter. And I do that for a what's called a long ferment. So I'll let that, I'll mix it and let it bulk ferment overnight. So kitchen scale, super handy for figuring out, especially if you're going to change recipes to double them or have them. I have a New York Times challah recipe that I love, but it makes like massive amounts of bread and I can't possibly use it all. So I like to cut it in half. So having a scale help me figure out how much half of everything is. It's really super useful. Another nice to have, but absolutely not necessary, is a kitchen thermometer, a probe thermometer, the kind that you can, doesn't have to like be super high tech or digital or anything, but just something you can stick in a bread to check if it's reached its internal temperature target. That's nice. A much more expensive, very convenient, but absolutely not necessary to have piece of equipment is a mixer. Mixers are expensive, and if you're going for KitchenAid, which is the super popular like Williams-Sonoma e-brand, it's going to be expensive. Too expensive for me, actually. I don't have one. Not that kind. But they are super handy, and I do a lot with them. Make pasta, make bread, obviously, of all kinds, but also cakes and cookies, and I mean, they're really super useful. But my recommendation is, if you're just starting out on a journey about making bread, you know, save the mixer for a year or so when you are really into it and think you're ready to, you know, make bread more frequently to make it worthwhile and sort of step up game. Plus, honestly, half of the joy of bread is getting your hands in the dough. It is hard to explain. Like what the joy of dealing with the dough is. When you mix the water and the flour, and the, what happens is the flour starts to absorb the water, like invariably it's super sticky. It gets on your hands, gets everywhere, really hard to deal with. But as you knead it, the gluten, the protein in the flour starts to form gluten. And it goes from the sticky mess to, you know, depending on what you're making, what kind of flour you're using, could even be like shiny, very pliable, but with a lot of its own internal consistency, so it sticks to itself rather than you texture. It's this really remarkable transformation, both chemical and in texture, that really for me is the genuine joy of making bread. I mean, obviously, aside from eating it. So, yeah, I would absolutely endorse waiting on the mixer. Some other nice-to-have equipment, depending on what kind of bread you want to make, a form to bake in, as opposed to free form on a sheet pan. If you want to make, for example, sandwich loaves, like you need a kind of cake tin to bake that in, or it's just going to be a sandwich blob instead of a sandwich loaf. So another thing that is super useful that honestly I waited 2-3 years into making bread before I got, and now I can't even imagine how I live without, are what's called banitons. These are like rattan forms, like made out of bits of wood. They tend to be either round for making boules or oval for making batards. But I've seen square-ish and other shapes too. And they are a form in which the risen and shaped but unbaked bread sits for its final rise before it gets baked. And then if you ever see like artisan bread that has these beautiful lines around it, like flower lines, in concentric circles, that's coming from the form, from the banneton. And I use those. Another nice to have, super cheap, and a huge saver on mess is baking paper. Like really super cheap, but will save you heartache and headache. So highly endorsed. I think certainly that's everything I can think of that I have, that I use. You do need some kitchen supplies. You need a clean towel or two to cover dough. The thing that I use all the time is shower caps. Yes, you heard it here first. I use shower caps. I grab them whenever I go stay in a hotel. I've got a whole pile of them. Because bread, while it's rising, you want to keep it covered. So if it's in a bowl or a pot rising, you need to cover it to avoid losing moisture to the air. You'll get your moisture percentage will be off in the end if you don't cover it. And I like the shower caps because they're stretchy. They fit over the mouth of the bowl. And, you know, trying to avoid single-use plastic waste, I can use a shower cap 100, 200 times before I need to replace it because the elastic breaks or the plastic tears. So that's really useful, but, you know, a virtually zero cost out of your pocket item. So those are the equipments that I use in baking. I think we could talk about ingredients, like what kinds of flours and other ingredients, yeast, etc. But I'm also thinking that despite your possibly facetious requests for baking tips, that, you know, this might not actually be of huge interest to people. So I'm going to stop there at the end of this inaugural edition of Ryan's Baking Podcast, my secret dream. And if you liked it, if you want to hear about bread ingredients or more baking tips, like clearly I'm prepared to talk about baking. You don't have to worry about that. So if you like it, let me know and we'll do another one. Also, thank you to everybody that stopped by, left a comment, sent me a message, liked something that I produced. It's crazy affirming, really motivating. And I hope to have more non-bread content to you soon. Bye, my loves.
We both know why I'm here. You never like Friday nights on your own. Oh, yeah. Suppose I volunteered. I always knew better to stay at home. I could have been anyone. I happened to be around. I'm just anyone. And you couldn't keep it down. Couldn't keep it down. Just enough, not too much. We don't talk, 'cause you just need a blowjob.